When I was younger, I struggled to make appointments. And one time, I'm ashamed to say this, I failed not once, but twice to meet up with somebody that I had arranged to meet with. Now, this is a person that I had met through correspondence and he happened to live in the same city as me. We both enjoy reading a particular writer, the name of which is Dorothy Day, who's an American journalist. And we set a time to meet at a coffee shop close to our house in downtown Kitchener, and I completely forgot. And then he sent me a message, you know, very kindly reminding me that I had forgotten to meet him. And I set another time to meet him, and we rearranged that. And then a second time, to my utter horror, I forgot the time to meet him. At this point, I was frozen. I thought, why would anyone want to make a plan with someone who is so careless and so forgetful? I had to take an hour before I go back to the computer when I saw the email from him, and I had to write it back to apologize. I apologized, and to my great surprise, he wanted to meet me for a third try. And this time, I was thinking, am I going to remember this? I was in every single possible way to remind myself. And I did not forget, and we met, and we had a great conversation. And I'm happy to say that we're friends today. We're good friends. So, all kudos goes to my friend. There was a moment where this might have never happened, and I almost just didn't send an email back to him. I was so afraid of my embarrassment. Have you ever been so afraid, so paralyzed by fear of failure? If you can't start the task, if you can't raise your hand when you know the answer, if you can't apply for that job or that school program, if you can't say what you need to say, even though you want to deepen a relationship. I think in each of these cases and others, on some level, we're dealing with a fear of failure. A fear of failure that will actually close the door to something that might, in fact, be actually open. Another story. When I was younger, many people told me that they thought I would make a good teacher. But I never pursued it until this year. Why? I never thought I could ever get into Teachers College. I thought I didn't have the right prerequisite courses. I thought even if I got into Teachers College, even if I graduated, I would never get a job as a teacher. I thought I could never control the classroom. In all these ways, I believed that the door for teaching was shut, and I wouldn't be able to open it because of my fear of failure. It kept me seeing what was possible for myself. I saw this Air Jordan commercial this week that I love. It says this so well. Spliced with video footage from his basketball games, Michael Jordan says in a voiceover that in his career he has missed more than 9,000 shots. He's lost more than 300 games. 26 times he's missed the game-winning shot. And then what he says at the end of this, I've failed over and over and over again, and that is why I succeed. I've failed over and over again, and that is why I succeed. Failure didn't stop Michael Jordan from playing and competing in basketball. Failure, for him, was a part of the process. The truth is, failure is a part of life. The problem is that we have is we start believing that failure is the closed door to our future. We think, if I fail, they're not going to trust me. If I fail, I'm not good enough. If I fail, I won't get a second chance. Could it be that underneath this fear of failure is a fear that God won't come through for us? In our reading today from 2 Kings, a slave girl does something risky that puts God on the line. Let's look at that story again as it was recorded in the book of 2 Kings. At this time, Aramean raiders had invaded the land of Israel, and among their captives was a young girl who had been given to Naaman's wife as a maid. So right away, we are made aware of the dangerous world that this young girl lives in. It's this painful consequence of war and defeat. Some translations would say this would translate servant and young maiden as slave girl. The fact is that the powerful general named Naaman has taken her from her country, has taken her from her community, has taken her from her family. He did this after he invaded Israel. And she was made a slave like so many others in that day and age. There's this massive power difference between her status as a slave and her master, Naaman. And because of that difference in status, because she was a slave, we don't even know her name. It's not recorded. In contrast, we know Naaman's name. Naaman is powerful, commander. We are told in 2 Kings verse 2 that the king of Aram had great admiration for Naaman, the commander of his army, because through him the Lord had given Aram great victories. But though Naaman was a mighty warrior, he suffered from leprosy. So God had, in fact, allowed Naaman to have significant military victories over Israel. And we'll discover later on in this chapter that he, in fact, had more faith than the Israelite king. But not all is well for him. He is victorious, and he is also sick. He has a terrible skin condition called leprosy, and it's causing these aching sores all over his body. And even though he's an enemy of Israel, this young Israelite slave girl wants to help him. She speaks up and says, "I wish my master would go to see the prophet in Samaria. He would heal him of his leprosy." You gotta admit, this girl's got guts. She's got guts. Here she is, a captive slave, giving advice to her mistress and master. In my opinion, she's the hero of the story. And what if she's wrong? What then? She could be killed. I wish I was more like this gutsy slave girl. I hear people talking about their problems, the things that are going wrong for them in their life, and I want to give them hope. I know the hope that God has given to me and provided to me in my life, and I remember the many times that I've just been in awful places and God has helped me. But too often, I haven't the courage like this gutsy slave girl, to speak up and say, there is a hope. There is a God that can make a difference, that wants to be a part of your life, that wants to be in this situation that you're facing. This slave girl does not shy away. She shares her hope with Naaman. She knows that God can heal, and she's not afraid that God will fail. She wants this enemy of her country to be healed, maybe because by knowing him, by knowing her enemy, she doesn't hate them. And Naaman listens to her. He goes again to Israel, but this time not to invade the country. This time he actually goes with wagons full. Wagons and wagons and wagons of gold, silver, and clothes. You can imagine the scenes. Tribute just stretch out onto the horizon. And as you can imagine, when the king of Israel sees his enemy coming to his door, this Aramean commander with wagons of silver and gold, he is absolutely confused, out of his mind, afraid. He can't believe that Naaman actually wants his help. So he assumes the worst. He thinks that this is some kind of trap. That actually Naaman has come to destroy him. And he tears his clothes in anguish. And the prophet Elisha hears about it. He says, send Naaman to me. So Naaman arrives at the prophet's home. And he's greeted not by Elisha. No, he doesn't. Elisha doesn't come out. Elisha actually sends his messenger. Elisha sends his messenger telling Naaman to wash in the Jordan River 7 times. And when Naaman hears this, he's offended. Now, the River Jordan is, in his opinion, nothing compared to the waters of Damascus. I mean, we could think of this like someone told us to go wash in the Thames River. Why would you tell me to go bathe in the Thames River when there's the beautiful waters of Lake Huron? How could this muddy river help him? He almost walks away. What he needs is something that he does not yet have. He needs healing, but he also needs, in God's mercy, he needs humility. And a willingness to try something that he has not tried before. So one of his officers is there and convinces him. He says, try. What can you lose but try? You've come all this way. And similarly, we also can be obedient to God in so many ways. We can walk so many steps to where God wants us to be. Be so close, and then we stop. Just before God wants us to go that last step and arrive and get the blessing, get the healing, we stop because we're afraid. We're afraid of failure and being humbled. But just one more step is all that God asks. Naaman is convinced to humble himself in the Jordan River. He puts aside the idea that this could be some kind of joke at his expense, and he's going to try. Maybe, just maybe, that slave girl was right. And he goes into that slimy river. Not once, not twice, not 3 times, not 4 times, 5 times, 6 times, nothing. Nothing happens 6 times in the river. Shouldn't he feel something? 6 times. Is this really going to work? Does God have the power to heal? How's that? 7th time, he's healed. What if failure is a part of God's plan? What if failure is a part of God's plan? Naaman wanted God just to heal him one shot. Stand in front of him, wave his hands, and boom, he's healed. Just do it one shot. But what if God is saying to you today that the breakthrough that you are waiting for, that we need, is the breakthrough that just needs one more try? Or seven more times? I'm going to tell you that one time I was preaching, this is many years ago, and I got so lost at what I was saying. I was looking down at my manuscript and I just thought, this doesn't make any sense. And I don't know if you've been up in front of a group of people and you're supposed to give a speech and you look and this happens, it's an awful place to be. I was looking at this, like, I was in front of a group of people. I said, I do not know what am I talking about? I try to wrap it up as soon as possible. But it was bad. It was really bad. And I'm happy to say that my career as a preacher didn't end that day. In fact, some of the people that were there, the older folk, it was actually an older care home, they congratulated me. They're happy that I was there. And they congratulated me for my effort. I learned from that experience. I tried again. I got a little bit better. And somehow, over and over, I got to be more confident. It's hard. It's a hard thing to do. When I read about the story of the slave girl Naaman, I become convinced, though, that there's just one thing that God really cares about. It's a different thing than what we care about. That one thing that God cares about. We want things to go smoothly. We want all the success to prove that we are on the right path, that we're doing it right. But I'm convinced that what is success in God's eyes is dead simple. It's just one thing. Listen, it's perseverance in obedience. Yes. Yes, God, I will do it. Yes, God, I will speak up. Yes, God, I will try this thing that seems really hard. Not because you think it's going to be a slam dunk, but just because you heard that God asked you to do it. Maybe that's in your reading your Bible, in your prayer conversation with God, or just hearing a sermon. I know that because God wants me to do it, it's the right thing. And even though I failed before, I'm still going to be like Mike and shoot the ball. So, we'll turn now to our second lectionary text, which is from the Gospel, Luke 17, verse 11 to 19. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And he was going into a village. 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourself to the priests." And they went, and they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returning to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Go, rise, your faith has made you well." So today is Canadian Thanksgiving. And this story is about a Samaritan man with leprosy. And it encourages us to continue to practice our gratitude muscles. In this story, we hear that gratitude is not a given. Gratitude is not a given. Only one of the 10 lepers is coming back to Jesus to thank God for the miracle that has changed his life. Why not the others, you might ask? Why didn't they come back? Well, it could be, now this is me thinking about this, it could be that Jesus' healing of leprosy was just not enough for them. While they were sick, they had exhausted all of their savings, and they had little to nothing at all. That's why they were begging on the side of the road. And they had their lives to rebuild, after all. There's a certain degree of logic to this thinking. Others have suggested that those other nine, they went immediately home to celebrate with their friends and family. In this scenario, yes, they are thankful with gratitude, but it's not a gratitude that's directed towards the one who healed them. They have forgotten to thank God first. Just 1 in 10 returned. I'll have to say that people being grateful, that us being grateful and showing gratitude, may not be any better than it was in Jesus' time. The co-director of the London Food Bank, Led Pearson, wrote an opinion piece for the London Free Press this past week. It was about the decline of gratitude. He wrote it because he was concerned that people had allowed their gratitude muscles to grow weak. Concerned that Canada had become a divisive society where angry arguments about political opinions had pushed aside gratitude. Glenn admits that Canada's, quote, far from lawless, but to live here is to draw on a lucky ticket in history's lottery. To raise children in relative safety, to walk through breathtaking landscapes, to inherit a functioning democracy, that is no small thing. Gratitude turns what we have into enough, unquote. This opinion piece argues that we need to practice gratitude or we lose it. And without gratitude, that is what causes our outlook to sour. It's hard to be thankful and angry at the same time. Can you think of a time when you were angry at someone and also thankful? There's a way of complicated emotions we can have, but that doesn't, I can't remember a time when I've been both thankful and angry at someone. When the Samaritan leper, who has returned, he comes back to praise God. He comes back to Jesus to praise God. And there's something that Jesus does. Jesus says, your faith has made you healed. But wait, wasn't this guy already healed? Wasn't that the point that he came back? Because he was healed? Why did Jesus say that his faith has made him healed? As in the story of Naaman, there are two parts to God's healing. There is the outer part and the inner part. And we tend to focus on the outer part for good reasons. You know, leprosy, skin disease, those are painful. But what Jesus has given to this man is both outer and inner healing. The inner healing is more important to God. This is why Naaman was healed in the Jordan River. God wanted to heal him, not just of his leprosy. God wanted to heal him of his pride. This is why God allows us to fail. God wants us to strengthen our faith, to persevere no matter what, and rely on Jesus. The inner healing happened for the leper because he showed gratitude. And this is what we need to practice. This man may be starting over from scratch, but he's far more ahead than the other lepers because of his outlook. He's grateful. He's grateful to God. So let us also practice our gratitude muscles. Let us give thanks to a God that has done so much for us, whatever we have been given. Let us give thanks for the second chance to be obedient to God's will. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, move within our heart. Help us to be grateful for what the generous things you have given to us, to be able to identify them even when it's hard, even when we feel like a failure. We know that you are a God of second chances, that we don't have to be afraid of failing you, that you will forgive us if we come to you. And that forgiveness is worth more than anything else that we can ever, ever receive. So if there's anyone today that's struggling to feel worthy, I just pray you work a miracle in their heart today. If there's people that are struggling today, someone struggling today with bitterness, work a miracle in their heart today. Heal them, God. Bring that restoration that only you can. In Jesus' name, amen.